On this Eastertide Sunday, we continue our series, which is today is week two, on our series Ruach, which means the breath, the spirit, the wind of God that meets us where we are. Whether we be in the valley or the mountaintop, there is a breath and the wind of God that breathes life, creative, life-giving energy into our seemingly dark and desolate spaces. As we continue to prepare our hearts and worship, let us pray. Out of darkness, Lord, is light, is breath, is wind, is spirit, is Ruach. You come. And that Ruach, that breath, that life, that presence is here now. And so, God, we thank you so much for the gift of your presence that speaks, that comforts, that edifies, and that sends. So, God, we pray in these next few moments that our hearts would be settled. I pray that our hearts would be like clay before you. Living Lord, have your way. Speak to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. At the stroke of midnight on New Year's Day, 2008, I sat in our townhome closing the chapter of 2007. I opened up my journal, as I so often do on New Year's Eve going into New Year's Day, and I begin to reflect on the previous year. And the opening words of my journal, with tears streaming down there onto the pages, I wrote, "I am so happy to be closing the door to 2007, and so happy to be beginning a new year." 2007 is a year that I often look back upon as a year of the wilderness, of the desert, of the dry bones, if you will. We were in a really tough situation. In 2007, I found myself without a role in a church. And for anyone who has a call to teach and preach and a call to ministry without a place to serve and to use your gifts knows the feeling of just that unsettledness. A burning passion and desire to preach and proclaim the word of God to even just a few. But I found myself knocking on doors only to find that they were closing. Not only that, but Jeff and I had gotten ourselves into an investment on a horse, and the horse ended up injuring himself. And we had spent more money on that silly horse than we ever would have wanted to. It was a tough year. And I found myself broken, questioning, doubting, going through a crisis of callings of sorts, if you will. And the voices of the wilderness that often find us in those dark and desolate spaces began to speak into my heart during that season. Terabeth, you're here in this wilderness. You're here in this situation. You're here without a place to serve in ministry. You're experiencing all these closed doors because of you. You're inadequate. You're not gifted enough. Maybe you weren't actually called. Maybe this isn't your calling anyway. Maybe you should explore something else. These are the voices of the wilderness, the voices of the wilderness that find us in the most broken and vulnerable spaces that speak to us, you aren't worthy. You aren't good enough. You aren't smart enough. This is your fault. These are the all too common lies of the wilderness, and many of you know very well these voices. Many of you know very well the lies that find us in our most vulnerable, broken, and desolate spaces. Last week, we began a new series, Ruach, where together we are discovering the breath of God that settles into the valley of the dry bones and brings dead things to life, brings dead things to resurrection. And last week we talked about the breath of God that settles into the valley of dry bones, that meets us in the spaces where our dreams are shattered and broken, and wondered if we could ever have new dreams again. And what we discover is that the Ruach, the breath of God, expands our imagination and helps us to dream new kinds of dreams, birthed from the very heart of God, dreams that are birthed from the Ruach, that resurrect, that stir up, that empower. But what about those dreams that never do come to life? What about those dreams that always remain in the valley of the dry bones? What about those moments when the wilderness, when the valley of dry bones and brokenness is seemingly lasting a lifetime? What about those situations that won't change, can't change, will never change? What about the brokenness and chaos that is lasting an eternity, seemingly? As one singer puts it, what about those moments when our life is just constantly stuck in reverse? You know, us preachers love to move from Good Friday and into Easter Sunday in a hurry. We love to move to from the tomb and talk about resurrection. We love to push our people from the wilderness and tell them that the promised land is on the horizon. We love to look ahead to Revelation 21 and talk about the new heaven and the new earth that will soon come, that Sunday is always coming. We love to talk about victory and winning and promise and new dreams. But what about when there is no escape from the wilderness? What about when the desert is lasting a lifetime? You know something that us preachers never talk about? We never talk about the reality that Moses never made it to the promised land. Or this vision that Ezekiel received in the valley of the dry bones. Yes, it was a vision and it was a promise that he clung to, but he never got to see it come to fruition. And dare I say, Tamar, not all hopes have happy endings. Not all dreams have the promise of resurrection. Not all pain has the promise of comfort and healing. Not all hurt has the promise of reconciliation. And not all dead ends have the promise of new starts and U-turns. In my role, I sit with people week in and week out, and I listen to them tell their stories of the valley of the dry bones. For some, their wilderness has lasted their entire lives. I hear the stories of dead ends, of dreams that fell apart at all corners. I hear week in and week out, multiple times a week, of those sharing the terrible news that they receive from a doctor. Week in and week out, I hear the stories of the valley of the dry bones, of those whose worlds were ripped out from underneath them. And here's the sad truth. At any given moment, any of us could experience the valley of the dry bones. But we don't like to talk about it. We don't like to go there. We love to say, yes, but resurrection is coming, which is true. And so oftentimes, many of us wander through the valley of the dry bones alone. We run into friends at the store and they ask us how we're doing. And although we might be there in the darkest place in the valley of the dry bones, we respond with, I'm good. The weather's great. The sun is shining. Now, I am an optimist, don't get me wrong. But so often, so many of us wander through the valley of the shadow of the dry bones alone. Because we don't always want to be the one that's discouraging. We don't always want to be negative Nelly. We don't want to feel shame for our situation. We don't want others to look at us as though something is always wrong. And then We listen to the other voices that tell us why we're there. We're in the valley of the dry bones because of something you did wrong. You're stuck in reverse because of the decisions that you have made. You're in this place because you're never enough. You will never amount to anything. Worthless. Didn't work hard enough. Didn't achieve enough. Didn't overcome enough. This morning, I want to take a look at our text again from Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning at verse 1 through verse 14. And help us to consider where that breath of God is and that places in the places that never change. Let's take a look, beginning at verse 1. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor on the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And I was prophesying, and there was a noise, a rattling sound, and bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." Here ends the reading. This is the word of the Lord. This is, as we said last week, one of the most well-known texts in the book of Ezekiel. It's an incredible image of Ezekiel coming to this valley of dry bones, looking at this very troubling scene. For many of us, this would be a nightmare. But immediately, the Lord puts his hand upon Ezekiel and calms his troubled heart. And the Lord says, "Can these bones be raised to new life?" And Ezekiel immediately responds, and showing his belief in the very nature of who God is, that God is who God says he is. And he says, "Lord, sovereign Lord, only you know. Only you know." And God's answer is yes. The breath of God will come and will breathe into these dry bones, and these dry bones will come together, and we will see the regeneration or the recreation, and they will come to life. We talked about last week that this word ruach is most often associated with the creative power of God. God created man and woman and breathed into their lungs, and there was life. And so the prophet, he hears this word of the Lord, and he hears this promise and fulfillment that these dry bones, that this recreation of Israel will someday come together, and that the new people of God in Christ will be resurrected. And so God affirms hope for the future through this incredible prophetic word. And last week we talked about one of the things that this passage shows us among many things. There are so many layers to this passage, we could spend days on it. But one of the things that we see is the very nature and the character of who God is. That is, the Lord reveals God's power over death. And we see this time and time again throughout Scripture, that death does not have the last and final word in God's economy, in the kingdom of God. For God has power over life. And the other thing that we discover is the infusion of the breath of God brings about renewed living and power for living. But another layer that I would like to add to this about the very nature and the character of God is that we see God's presence in the valley of the dry bones. We see that God dares to enter the most desolate and dry and dark and broken and painful situation. God begins by even going there and entering into that space. Some of you this morning are in that place of the valley of the dry bones, whether it be a relationship or a situation or a circumstance. And you might be wondering, where is the presence of God? Where is God in my valley of the dry bones? And there in the valley of the dry bones is a voice that may not be the Ruach of God. In the valley of the dry bones emerges another voice, the same voice that we see slithering into the scene in the beginning of Genesis, that begins to speak something completely opposite of the Ruach. Here in the valley of the dry bones, as this voice can slither into the scene and so often does, is the same voice that told Adam and Eve that they weren't like God enough. And then spoke into Adam and Eve and caused them to feel shame for their broken situation. That they weren't adequate, that they didn't have enough, that they should eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil, and then maybe they will be adequate, then maybe they will have enough. These are the lies in the valley of the dry bones. These are the lies of the wilderness. These are the lies of the desert. That is, you don't have enough. You aren't adequate. You aren't enough. You should feel shame for your situation. This is your fault. You're here because of you. You are here because you aren't significant. You are here because you are inadequate. You are here because you don't have enough and you never will have enough. You are here because you made too many mistakes. And it's here in the valley of the dry bones in the wilderness that we find ourselves most vulnerable to this slithering serpent, that we find ourselves most vulnerable to being our hearts being hijacked to these lies. So the first lie of the wilderness is, number one, I'm not significant. So we find ourselves in these broken and desolate situations, comes another voice, you aren't significant. So we work to respond to that by trying to resolve our situation, by trying to resolve our brokenness, by seeking approval. Perhaps maybe I'll have more significance. Perhaps maybe I'll have more worth. If I'm known, if I have more followers, if I'm more well-liked, if I'm better received, if I'm seen as worthy by others, then maybe I can step out of this valley of the dry bones. If I can make myself, if I can prop myself, if I can get myself into a position where I'm more significant. Second lie that speaks into the valley of the dry bones is, you're inadequate. And the only way to overcome your inadequacy is to simply do more. Get more degrees. get more rewards, get more letters behind your name, more achievements. And as a result, we have this just never-ending drive to work more, to compete more, to hustle more, to be better than everyone else, to be the fastest one, to be the smartest, to be the most significant in the room, to achieve more. And I'm not enough unless I'm winning, unless I'm achieving more, unless I'm acquiring more. The third lie in the wilderness is, I don't have enough. Perhaps my way out of this desolate situation, perhaps I can climb my way out of the valley of the dry bones if I somehow acquire more, if I had bigger, better, a more beautiful bank account. So we seek to attain more and more and more, but what we discover is it doesn't change our situation. These are exactly, of course, the temptations that Jesus found himself prey to, vulnerable to, even in the wilderness. Jesus, you don't have enough, so turn this stone into bread. Jesus, you haven't accomplished enough, so jump from this tall place. Or Jesus, you don't have enough approval, so if you just simply bow down and worship me, then I will give you the kingdoms of this world, and finally, at last, you will have the approval that you are looking for. These are the lies in the valley of the dry bones. But there in the valley of the dry bones emerges another voice, one that is counter to the voice that tells you, you are insignificant, you aren't worthy, you aren't enough, you need to do more, you need to achieve more, you need to compete more. There in the valley of the dry bones is the gift of the very breath, the ruach, the spirit of God that begins to settle in just as you are, as your raw, naked, unhindered, vulnerable, broken self. The breath of God dares to enter into the valley of the dry bones. And the gift of the Holy Ruach meets us exactly as we are. We don't have to achieve more. We don't have to become something else. We don't have to acquire more. We don't have to compete for it. We don't have to attain more. But instead, the breath of God settles in and meets us where we are. And so there, as we are in the valley of the dry bones, in the most impossible situation, stuck in reverse, feeling inadequate, feeling unequipped, feeling lost, feeling underaccomplished, and we begin to cry out, I am never enough. The breath of God I am enough for you. I am your bread of life. I am all that you need. I am your living water. I am your satisfaction. I am your sustainer. And the breath of God breathes into this desolate situation and invites us to just be. Just be. And as we cry out in the valley of the dry bones, I have not accomplished enough, the Holy Ruach of God begins to settle in and breathe. I've already accomplished it. You are enough in me. And as we cry out, I am a reject, I am worthless, the breath of God you are enough in me. And because of my grace, I approve, and I meet you exactly where we are. As the worship band is coming forward to lead us through a moment of reflection. Many of you stand in the valley of the dry bones to some degree or level. What are the lies that are being whispered to you in the valley of the dry bones? Is it that you are here because you aren't significant? Is it that you are here because you are inadequate? Is it that you are here because you don't have enough? Is it that you are here because you've made too many mistakes? And so you seek to climb your way out of the valley of the dry bones by achieving more, by acquiring more, by getting more degrees, by competing more, by doing something to prop ourselves up. Perhaps the invitation is to recognize and look around you and see the holy ruach of God that meets us just as you are in breeze and invites you to just be. As Pastor Faith always says, just be loved. Just be loved. Nothing else. Nothing more. Just be loved. And so we want to invite you to do that right here, right now, to allow the love of God to sing over you with the melody that only the love of God can sing. The love of God that begins to breathe into your mind, into your heart, into your soul, and begins to breathe a message that is counter to the lies of the wilderness, that is counter to the lies of the desert, that says, you are enough in me. You are loved. You are my child. You are a daughter of the King. You are the son of the King. You are the people of God in Christ, redeemed and in the grace of God and set free. And there is nothing you need to do except to be loved. So we invite you to do that, however that looks, as Pastor Ali and the team leads us through this song. Perhaps this morning being loved is to sit, do nothing. Perhaps this morning, right now, being loved is to sing this song with us. Perhaps this morning being loved is just make your way to the altar and come at the throne room of God. Perhaps this morning being loved is to stand and worship. There's no right or wrong way to be loved. Just allow the breath of God to settle in the valley of the dry bones and be loved.
Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice, and seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken from my regard. And through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And it is well with me. Mm-hmm.
So there it was, early 2008, driving some 70 miles an hour down the interstate, running from my own calling to ministry, running because I was believing in the lies that I wasn't enough, that maybe I'd misunderstood God. I wasn't worthy. I wasn't adequate. So running for my own call to preach, I began to pursue a career training horses. But one afternoon, as I was driving down the road, I just couldn't shake that desire, that passion, that sense of urgency that God had put in me at 16 years old to preach. As I was driving down the highway, 70 miles an hour, listening to worship music, I was suddenly so overcome. As the holy wreck of God was settling into that vehicle, I pulled over my car. with tears streaming down my face. Suddenly, it didn't matter what job title I had. Suddenly, it didn't matter what my career path was, what my tenure trajectory was. Suddenly, it didn't matter what my bank account was. Suddenly, it didn't matter who I was going to become. All that mattered there in that moment was that the Holy Ruach of God had met me in that desolate space and that I was loved. Loved. Just as I was, without the titles, without the bank account, without the degrees that my counterparts had, because it didn't matter. For in that moment, as the breath of God breathed over me in my own valley of the dry bones, the breath of God breathed. You are enough for me. You are gifted enough. You are loved. And the only title that I care about is that you are the daughter of the King. I don't know where you are this morning. There are days where it's noticeable to me that many of you are walking through your own valley of the dry bones, the wilderness. And I hear you trying to climb out of that valley, out of that wilderness by trying to attain more, acquire more, and seek more approval. But I pray that you discover the gift of the dry bones. The gift of the dry bones that the Ruach breathes in and meets you where you are just as you are and calls you beautiful and beloved. For you are in His image. You are His child. Lord, we thank you for the Ruach that is settling in. That because of the life, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of King Jesus, you meet us exactly as we are, and you call us cherished. You call us beautiful. You call us your son and daughter. You call us beloved. So God, I pray that today that not one of us would leave this place without discovering the gift of the wilderness, the breath that settles into our darkness. And we discover we don't need to become anything except for your son and daughter. So may we leave this place just being loved. In the name of Jesus, we pray.